You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project. And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments. From sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more, Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, and pleased to have with me in the studio this evening a man that I actually just had the privilege of meeting. His name is Ron Murray. And he is a guitarist and producer. Welcome, Ron.
Nice to see you, Mike.
Nice to have you here with us on the show. And this is this falls into the classification of it's a small world after all.
Oh, for sure.
Because the way I came across Ron's name to invite him to be on Conducting Conversations was opening one of his albums, one of his CDs, and seeing liner notes and seeing a man that we both know, Jack Gauthier, who recorded one of your CDs, and I've done CD projects with Jack over the years for the last almost 20 years, just producing different projects with him, and here we are. So now that's our relationship, and I think that's probably the end of the show. So thanks for coming. No, actually, let's start with basically who you are, and I mentioned guitarist and producer. So guitarist leads us to the fact that you've probably been playing the guitar for a while.
If I think about it, and I don't like to too much at this point, because it's been about 45 years, I think, of being a professional musician and producer. I started playing during the big folk scare of the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, my good buddy Adrian Dunlop, who was the son of the richest man in town, and he went off to a Mexican vacation over Christmas time with his family and brought back two guitars, one for me and one for him. Mm-hmm. His big brother was a bass player and a rock and roller, one of the early British-influenced rock and rollers in the Eastern Seaboard, and a very fine musician himself. And Adrian wanted to be him, well, as we all want to be our big brothers.
Right.
So he brought home two guitars and presented one to me, and I said, well, now what are we going to do with this? And he said, well, let's make a group. So off I went to the local music store and for about 75 cents purchased a chord book and a little guidance. And next thing I knew, it owned me. I think it was about 3 weeks after Adrian gave me that guitar that everything in the world disappeared. Right. Into that guitar.
Now, did you want to be Simon and Garfunkel between the two of you, or was that?
At that point in time, I think it was the Kingston Trio.
Kingston Trio, all right.
As well as the burgeoning Bob Dylan, Joan Baez, Judy mm-hmm. Collins thing, and the Rooftop Singers, and Peter Paul and Mary.
Peter Paul and Mary, of course, yeah.
Beautifully done music. I mean, folk music was a label that the producers used to sell records, because once you got into the studio and got good musicians and good technology on board, it went from being sort of the very primitive Pete Seeger orientation mm-hmm. right into a very produced, very pop-oriented kind of thing. Right. And that sound attracted me. And the guitar really just became an obsession. I really literally dropped everything else in my life. All of my studies went down the tubes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I went from being the president of my class to just barely graduating high school in 4 short years. In the meantime, all of these acts like Peter, Paul, and Mary and the Chad Mitchell Trio came through the area, the Boston area, and I ended up as a sideman on many of those concerts. Mm. When I was still in high school, I played with some of the biggest acts that there were. Because I was just so hungry to play that I played all the fretted instruments, banjo and mandolin and 12-string guitar, upright bass even, an electric bass, and I learned how to read music fairly well. I had a pretty good teacher for that purpose, and so I was tapped to play with these giants, as far as I was concerned. And so I got to be on the big stage with Peter, Paul, and Mary, playing bass for them for a couple of concerts. I met John Denver when he was still John Dusseldorf, when he was a member of the Chad Mitchell Trio.
There you go. Chad Mitchell Trio. There's a name from the past for me.
Yep. And I sort of fell into this whole thing. And then my father, who's a part-time musician all of his life, decided in talking with his buddies on the bandstand, he was working weekends with some good musicians, but everybody sort of came up with the idea that, as in the piano world, if you study classically, you learn the instrument and then you can play any kind of music.
Offshoot of to whatever you want to do, whether it's rock and roll or whatever.
My father decided that that was probably the way to go on the guitar, because I showed an aptitude and I picked it up very quickly and learned very quickly. And he wanted to make sure that I had the advantage of a good technique and a good solid foundation. And he found me a teacher. Roger Mason was his name, who was just a wonderful guy. He was really very open-minded, and he loved the fact that he had a student that just wanted to practice 10 hours a day and learn everything. And Roger and I sort of explored the brand new bossa nova phase that has just come into the country. And but he was brilliant in that he gave me classical training, had me playing the Sor and Taraga studies on the classical guitar, and he made me sight sing, solfège, which is a lost art, unfortunately, in our culture. But it certainly was the way for me into professional musicianship, because guitar players, by and large, don't read music very well. It's a very easy instrument to learn a bunch of chords on and sort of bang around at.
Right.
And most guitarists are not good readers because they really don't have
Didn't
to
have
be.
Didn't have to be, right?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of being a good reader, before we get too much further along, because I'm sure we have 1,000 stories we can get into, let's play a piece of music for our audience that shows some of that classical background. What do you have for us first on some of the CDs that you brought with us?
This is the Bach cello prelude from the sixth suite. This is a great favorite of mine my whole life, and I was just very, very pleased to be able to record it on a Christmas collection I did for North Star Records back in the early 90s. This, in fact, was recorded by Jack Gauthier at Lake West Studios.
All right, we'll give it a listen. well, we have a chance to listen to beautiful music, and I know from listening to your previous recordings that I had on the show with Neil Weiss when he was here with Wailing City Sound, it was very intriguing to be able to have you come in and explain your music to us. So the classical version you just played for us leads us to more classical music on this CD. Tell us about that.
Well, classical music has always been part of my life. My parents were fans of both jazz and classical music. I grew up as a bit of a snob, actually. Nobody in our household liked pop music back in the late 50s and early 60s. So I was, in fact, treated when I was very young, 7 or 8 years old, I heard my first classical guitar record, which was a Hispavox recording from Spain of the great female guitarist Renata Tarago playing the Concerto de Aranjuez. And while I wasn't particularly moved at that time, I had a real awareness of the sound of the orchestra and the guitar. And so following my classical training with Roger Mason and some other guitarists in Boston, I actually went to Spain and studied with John Williams, who I consider to be the greatest of all the classical guitarists of my generation anyway.
So the John Williams, the guitarist, not the John Williams Boston Pops.
That's correct.
John Williams.
Different John Williams, born in Australia and lives in London, and had set a bar for the guitar that was very, very high. He was Segovia's real protege. Wow. And Segovia had great things to say about him. And he recorded for Columbia Records and really, really changed my viewpoint of the instrument as to how well it could be played. He just set the bar. So I have always explored the classical approach and repertoire in spite of all the other things I've done musically. And so I, again, took whatever opportunity I could to record classical pieces because they are such an important part of my background. And I found through Julian Bream, the great British guitarist, who's a friend of John Williams, Bream is a great lute player as well. And I was awestruck by the beautiful sound of the lute and the music of the Renaissance. This next piece that we're going to hear is by Anthony Holborn, who was a contemporary of John Dowland and Shakespeare. And it's just a sweet little lute piece called Hi Ho Holiday. And I recorded it on the guitar, but I put a capo on the third fret to get the lute sound.
All right, so we'll listen to Hi Ho Holiday, which is very short. And that's going to lead us into another piece called what?
This next piece after that is called Winter's Dance, and it's actually a piece I wrote in the Renaissance style. I decided for the sake of a Christmas-oriented record that I wanted to have some consort music with recorders and things like that. And my dear friend for many years, Michael Monaghan, plays all the recorders and clarinets and flutes on this particular version of Winter's Dance.
All right. Well, we'll go from one right into the other.
Thank you.
on one of the most frequently asked questions by our listeners once they hear music like this is, how can they get some for themselves? So let's answer that question right now. Do you have a website where people can go and purchase these CDs? There are, what, four or five that you have?
Well, those are old North Star releases from back in the 90s and unfortunately are no longer available commercially.
Okay.
I am in the process of getting clearances from North Star to republish as a collection, various selections from the three that I did with North Star. They're not available yet, but they will be available on my website when they're done. And that is www.ronguitar.com.
Ron, R-O-N, guitar.com. Yep. That's a great website.
Yeah, it has a lot of music on it from the CDs and from live performances, too. It's kind of a fun website. And I can be reached for performances, for arranging. You know, I love to accompany people. I love to accompany singers. I've done it all my life. I've worked with Tom Jones and Sergio Franchi and Johnny Mathis.
So if Tom Jones is listening and he's lost your number, you're about to give it to him again,
That's
right?
correct. All right. That's correct. Tom, give me a call at 860-536-4687.
So 860, you live in Connecticut, obviously. What part of Connecticut?
Mystic, actually.
Mystic, Connecticut. So not right in the heart of our listening area, although we do have listeners worldwide that listen to classical959.com. Listen that way. We have listeners all over the world. But Mystic, for those of you that might not be in the Rhode Island, Connecticut area is right there in the heart of our spot. It's a beautiful, beautiful area of Connecticut. And so if you're interested in Ron's music or hiring him to either arrange something for you or accompany you or just come and entertain at a party, I'm sure he can do all of those types of things along with his CDs. Let's go out with in this segment with one more piece of music from that same CD. Tell us about this.
Well, this was an arrangement I did of Sleepers Awake, the great Bach cantata, and again features Michael Monaghan on flute, and I've written two guitar parts that through the magic of technology I was able to play one right after the other, and Jack Gauthier with his magic combined them and made a beautiful, beautiful mix of one of the great pieces. I was so happy to be able to get this on a record.
All right, great. This one's a little bit lengthy, so we might fade out of it. We'll see, get as much in as we can. Then take a short break and be back with more of Ron Murray on Conducting Conversations.
Thank you.
The people at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. We are speaking this evening with Ron Murray, a guitarist and producer, and a man that we keep finding out off air that we have other connections to. Ron is connected to Martin PQ, who has been on the show before, as well as Jack Gauthier, who's been on the show before, and Neil Weiss, who's been on the show before. And tell us a little bit about those connections.
Well, Neil, of course, is the main reason I'm here, if anybody needs somebody to blame. Neil called me and had done the show and said, you know, this will be a nice opportunity for you to talk a little bit about the music and about the relationship with Wailing City Sound. And in fact, it extends into the relationship with Martin PQ. Martin is the conductor for the Sound Music Series at Harkness Memorial Park in the summertime, but he's also one of the brilliant woodwind players in the world. I mean, he's a world-class player of 8 different instruments. Mm-hmm. All the flute family, the saxophone family, oboe and bassoon, recorders, the whole thing. And he and I have hooked up a little duo/quartet act that we call, or we label, Jazzical Fusion. And what I've done is I've, with Martin's input, arranged several pieces by, for instance, like Chopin Preludes, where I take the piano piece and arrange it for guitar and whatever horn Martin feels like is going to fit the mood, and then we write a section in the middle to actually improvise, mm-hmm. and then take it back out as the classical piece it was originally written for. Wow. We've done several by Chopin. We're working on also the Satie Gymnopédies and a variety of material. And we will be doing a CD for Wailing City Sound very shortly.
Now,
Neil
those
is very
that,
excited about
right,
this.
Right, those of you that didn't hear that show, Wailing City Sound is for all practical purposes, what we used to term as a record company.
Right.
Or a label or a production company. And that's what we were referring to when we say Wailing City Sound. Not another singing group, but a company. And so that's great, and we'll look forward to that being in the works. But that sounds like something you've got to come back and do another show with Neil about, or with Martin.
Or with Martin, sure. Right. Either way, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
great.
It's a really interesting idea, and Neil is very excited about it because he is at Wailing City Sound is doing jazz and classical music right across the board. He's mm-hmm. got a whole chamber music division now, and he's very excited about sort of gluing them together with this concept, which That'd is be- a beautiful thing. We played a small concert. We opened for the Benny Goodman Tribute Orchestra at Harkness this past summer. Played our little act for 4,000 people and was very, very well received. So we're looking forward to recording it and taking it on the road.
Well, that's great. And when Neil was here, we played a cut off this CD. We played While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And tell us about the selection you've decided to play for us off this CD.
Well, this brings us into my jazz years and into the idea of playing the classical guitar in a jazz setting. And the first influence was the Brazilian guitar. And Charlie Bird and Stan Getz made a fabulous record in the early 60s called Jazz Samba, which really turned me on to Brazilian rhythms and melodies. One of the great composers of Brazil is Antonio Carlos Jobim, who wrote Girl from Ipanema and all the great bossa nova hits. One of his lesser-known tunes is called Vivo Sonhando, or Dreamer, a lovely lilting melody that I put on the Romanza album, the Wailing City Sound CD, because I wanted to feature several different aspects of what I do as a producer. There's two vocalists on this. The first chorus is a vocalist singing in Brazilian Portuguese,
mm-hmm.
and then my father is featured on the harmonica, and in a sort of a slight perversion of the whole idea, I play a jazz solo on the electric guitar, and back myself up on the acoustic guitar, and then another friend of mine, a very fine singer from Connecticut by the name of Michael Chula, sings it in English. So it's quite an undertaking, but it's a beautiful tune to explore this way.
All right, well, we'll give it a listen right now. ¶¶
sonhando, sonhando mil horas sem fim. Tempo que vou perguntando se gostas de mim. Tempo de falar em estrelas, falar de mar, de céu assim. Fala do bem que se tem mais, você não vem, não vem. Você não vindo, não vindo, a vida tem fim. Gente que passa sorrindo, zombando de mim. E eu a falar em estrelas, mar, amor e luar. Pobre de mim, que só sei te amar.
You mentioned that your father is on this recording playing the harmonica.
Yes.
And that's always been, that was one of the things that I missed the most. My father passed away quite a few years ago, but as a singer and someone who taught me to sing, I always wished that I had a recording with him. So that's got to be kind of a special treat, neat thing for you to have that availability.
Well, again, it is, and it's a bit of a self-indulgence. When you produce your own records, you tend to sort of try to get things done that you think about all your life.
Sure.
And my father was never a full-time professional musician, partly because he had nine children. I'm the oldest of nine. So he had to actually have a job, or we'd all starve. But he was very serious about his pursuit. He was a fine drummer, a very good singer, and I think a really superb harmonica player. And Most of the musicians that have met him and worked with him, my friends in the business of the highest level, are very, very impressed by his playing and by the warmth of his approach. He's a very musical guy. So it was a great thing to have him on this. And in fact, I'm hoping to do a project not too far in the future where he and I just do a duo CD.
That'd be great. So it'll be tell great. Us about some of the other people involved on this recording.
Well, on the Romanza record, the latest one, I mean, it was just a special thing. Artie Dixon is a great world-class drummer and had been on the road for several years with the great jazz pianist Ahmad Jamal, and came off the road to settle down and raise his family and settled in Connecticut. And I ran into him on a gig at Foxwoods Casino. And we sort of immediately had a musical kinship. Uh-huh. So we've been working together off and on for almost 10 years now. And when the time came to do a really good jazz-styled recording, I was fortunate to have Artie Dixon, one of the great drummers in the world, to do it. And it made it easy. We did the whole record in one day.
Wow.
And Marty Ballou is an area standout on the upright and electric basses, and he joined us for this recording as well as for several engagements before it, so we could sort of tighten things up and put it all together. And we went into Jack's studio in the late morning, and by about 6 o'clock that evening we had a record.
There you go.
And this next track speaks about another influence, a guitar influence of mine, the great Belgian gypsy Django Reinhardt, who in World War II was one of the most famous musicians in the world. And he wrote a song that the Parisians used as sort of their song of freedom throughout the war. The song is called Nuage, Clouds. And it does feature Marty Ballou playing a little bass solo after the statement of the melody.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Ron Murray. Thank you.
The people at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. We're having a very, very pleasant time talking with Ron Murray, who has enough stories probably for another 10 shows or maybe 50 shows. But at any rate, we're trying to cram it all in here. And Ron, one of the things I wanted to ask you about was appearances. Where are you going to be appearing that people could see you?
Well, right now I'm starting a series of appearances and fundraisers for Opera Providence.
Okay,
Dr.
great.
Bob DiRobbio is a dear friend, and I've been working all summer with the Italian tenor Dominic Di Pasquale, who's mm-hmm. also been doing fundraisers for Opera Providence.
Well, there's another connection because Dr. DiRobbio has been on this show also.
There you go. Yes. Well, I just saw him yesterday and his lovely wife Nancy. So he gave me the information that we will be doing a fundraiser for Opera Providence in conjunction with the Japanese American Society at the Metacomet Country Club on November 19th. And I will be doing a little sort of preview playing before the singers come on, and I will be featuring at the end of my little concert, I'm doing a piece, a Japanese folk song called Sakura, the cherry blossom song, which is a beautiful piece for guitar with a theme and variations kind of structure that I'm so glad to have an excuse to play because it's a beautiful, it's just a beautiful piece.
All right, sounds great. What about information on that? Can they go to Opera Providence and get information if people want tickets for that?
That appears to be the best thing to do is to go on to operaprovidence.org or give them a call.
All right, operaprovidence.org. All right, we'll do that. And so if you're interested in attending that at Metacomet Country Club, then that would be great. And now let's go to a CD that's a little older that you brought with you.
This is the first CD.
I guess it's a little older because your picture on there looks a little bit younger than you are now.
Yeah, really. What happens to us?
I know. It does change, doesn't it?
Well, this is the first CD that I recorded for North Star Records, probably in 1989 or 1990. And this is... it was a very funny situation. They called me up. I had been producing other artists for them, and they called up and said, geez, we just had a dropout in our release schedule, whatever that means, and we need a record real quick. Could you do one?
Hmm.
And I said, well, I'd be glad to. You know, it'd be a nice opportunity to put all my production skills to work and to play the guitar, and what would you like? Would you like a collection of Beatles tunes? Do you want a jazz record? And they said, well, no. Our budget is very limited right now because of the problems we're having, so we need you to compose all of the pieces for the record.
So, in other words, they didn't have to pay any royalties to anybody but you.
That's correct. Well, they didn't have to pay me royalties for that matter. They just had to pay me mechanicals. So I said, well, I hadn't actually considered doing anything like that, but let's give it a try. How much time do we have? And they said, 2 weeks.
Boy. Sounds like an easy task.
Well, it was really fun. It was really fun. I actually sketched out a bunch of melodies and sort of feels. I did it all... I created it in the studio. It was really a thrill. Jack and I worked really mm-hmm. late into the night just putting things together, and then I called in very fine musicians from my buddies at Berklee College of Music and that sort of thing, and they came in for a day to finish up the final things. And this was the first chance I had to sort of exhibit my flamenco influence, because I had studied with John Williams and Paco Peña in Spain, and I had been sort of working on the flamenco thing at the end of the 80s, and so I wrote a couple of pieces that had definite flamenco overtones, and this one that we're going to hear is a flamenco rumba called Torcha Flamiente.
Yes, of course. All right, we'll give that a listen and try to stay seated while you're listening. Thank you. of that CD was Prelude in Pastel. And tell us about some of the other people involved with that.
Well, I utilized on that Torcha Flamante, here's some very fine jazz flute playing in the sort of the Latin jazz style, and that's Teddy Casher. Ted Casher is a mainstay on the Boston music scene, Boston Providence Access, and has been playing saxophone and flute and clarinet all throughout the Cape and the whole area. He's a well-loved figure and was a real cool guy to meet when I came on the scene in Boston. So it was fun to have him on the record. Brad Hatfield on keyboards is just a world-class player, a professor at Berklee College of Music. And the percussionist on this record was Ricardo Monzon from Guatemala and had exactly the right feel. And we actually overdubbed some, you can hear it on this cut, some hand clapping, some palmas in the flamenco style. And Ricardo sort of led the way with that.
Hmm. All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in today and bringing us this small taste of the Ron Murray experience, we'll call it, and the CDs that you brought with us. We have one more tune to listen to, but I want to thank you for bringing your music to our audience. It's been great, and it does sound like we have a couple more shows lined up we've got to do with you with all the other things coming up for you.
Well, that would be very pleasant. I'm very happy to be here, and it's always nice to, I mean, the world is changing, but we're still hanging in there playing some real music.
Real
listeners.
That's right. All right, tell us about this last piece.
Well, again, we're finishing up with the flamenco influence combined with the classical and jazz influences, and that's just basically who I am. And this particular piece is called Tangos del Amigos, and it was written as a thank you to the young flamenco virtuoso Vicente Amigo, who has a beautiful, beautiful sound and actually plays the same guitar I do, made by the same maker. So we had a little bit of a bond. Tangos is a 4-4 flamenco dance. They're very rare. Most of the flamenco tunes are in 3 or 12 count. And the beginning of this is a real official Vicente Amigo. I stole it right from him before the band comes in and turns it into sort of a jazz rumba. But it's a real tangos, and it's, again, a real pleasure to be able to record the music that I have loved listening to my whole life.
Excellent. All right, we'll listen to that. And then thanks once again for coming in, Ron. We'll see you all next week on Conducting Conversations. Thank you.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.